News. I'm Harns. Not so much fun today for investors on Wall Street.
It is very much about contagion in the banking system.
Art Cashin at UBS Financial says markets have been down all over Europe and the U.S. caught the cold. The Dow is down 370 points, NASDAQ off 96. The big worry now is Italy. The cost of borrowing shot up overnight to more than 7% there as crushing national debt looms, and they're expected to need a rescue package vastly larger than Greece. Jonathan Corpina at Meridian Equity Partners.
Everybody knows that the crisis is there, and everyone knows that something has to be put in place to stop the bleeding. It's just, what is the plan, when is it going to start, and how much is it going to cost?
The S&P's down 43 points. At Penn State University, the sex scandal is rolling heads at the top. President Graham Spanier is reportedly on his way out, either to quit or with a boost from the Board of Trustees. And legendary head coach Joe Paterno has offered his resignation effective the end of the season. This morning at practice, he talked to his players. One of his players saying there were a lot of tears.
It's just hard to see a huge key person of Penn State to go like this.
The issue is lack of action. No one in authority called the police when they learned that a possible child sex abuser was using school facilities, and a retired former assistant coach at that. Western nations are bringing new sanctions against Iran over what UN investigators say is a nuclear weapons program. CBS News Foreign Affairs Consultant Pamela Falk.
The next step is to see if the Nuclear Watchdog Agency refers the case of Iran to the UN Security Council on November 17th when it meets, although Security Council action is unlikely because of resistance from Russia and China.
The report says Iran is moving its nuclear fuel production underground to better protect it from airstrikes. A first time simultaneous emergency broadcast message was conducted an hour ago, a test for FEMA by the FCC. How did it go?
It was something that was, for many people, a routine test, and there was no undue stress that I believe anyone experienced because of it.
Millicent West at Homeland Security for Washington, D.C. The Pentagon is not ruling out further discipline over mishandled remains of American military dead at Dover Air Force Base. CBS's Cammie McCormick in Washington.
A spokesman says Defense Secretary Panetta is deeply disturbed by what happened at Dover. He has ordered an independent investigation, but it isn't clear whether that will look into current policies or delve into what happened in the past. The remains of some service members were lost. A Pentagon spokesman says it's perfectly understandable the families of thousands of other war dead may be concerned about how their loved ones were handled.
Money in a display case was too tempting for four men with guns in Lakeside, California. They slung a chain around the case at the Barona Casino lobby and yanked it right out the front door with a truck and got away with an unknown amount of money. This is CBS News.
500 new business cards. That's 500 first impressions.
At Staples, we know your business printing is important.
30 copies of a killer proposal. 30 yeses to a career-changing deal.
So Staples certified print pros make sure it's perfect.
One new store sign, thousands of new shoppers.
Great business printing can be the difference between making a sale and missing one. Right now, get 30% off any copy and print orders of $30 or more. Visit Staples.com or text Staples to 84444. Offer ends 11/12. Staples, that was easy.
Hey guys, Macy's Veterans Day sale is the way to build your wardrobe. With 50% savings on the season's best outerwear, sweaters, woven tops, and more. 50% off designers like Tommy Hilfiger, Kenneth Cole Reaction, and Calvin Klein. And it gets even better with an extra 15 or 10% off when you use your Macy's card or savings pass. It's the way to save right now in the men's store at Macy's. Savings off regular sale and clearance prices. Exclusions apply.
It would not be good to have the power steering go out, which could happen if the steering unit breaks or the belt comes loose. Hence, a Toyota recall of more than a half million vehicles.
Toyota says a faulty crankshaft pulley is causing steering problems in some of its vehicles, including certain models of the Lexus, Highlander, and Camry. The defect can make it harder to steer. The latest recall couldn't have come at a worse time for Toyota, which is struggling from a strong currency and still faces lawsuits related to some of the nearly 14 million vehicles recalled in recent years. Toyota says there are no reports of accidents or injury stemming from the latest defect.
CBS's Lucy Kraft is in Tokyo. Imagine encountering an adult lion in the hallway of a building. It happened in Seattle after the 12-year-old female escaped her den at the Woodland Park Zoo. An emergency response team shot the lion with tranquilizers, and she was returned safely to her cage. Two other lions could have, but did not get out. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Mike Rowe talks with a real Ford service advisor about a big event.
Fiona, if I didn't know better, I'd say you're having some sort of, what, sales event?
Yes, we are. The big tire and brake sales event.
What are the important aspects of the sale?
Right now, we have special rebates, offers, and discounts.
Stop by a Ford dealer now to buy four select tires and get a $100 rebate. Plus, get a $40 rebate on Motorcraft Complete Brake Service.
So you have a lot of tires, and it involves brakes, too.
Correct.
Which is why it's called the Big Tire and Brake Sales Event.
You're good.
Yeah, thank you.
Stop by a participating Ford dealer for vehicle exclusions and rebate details through 11/30/11.
Hey guys, Macy's Veterans Day sale is the way to build your wardrobe. With 50% savings on the season's best outerwear, sweaters, woven tops, and more. 50% off designers like Tommy Hilfiger, Kenneth Cole Reaction, and Calvin Klein. And it gets even better with an extra 15 or 10% off when you use your Macy's card or savings pass. It's the way to save right now in the men's store at Macy's. Savings off regular sale and clearance prices. Exclusions apply.
Gearing up for Veterans Day, so I'll be telling you about places, things, events, things that are happening right here on 1340 KYNS.
And now, here's Bill Bittica.
With Talk is Cheap. Talk is Cheap. Sometimes it's pathetic. All right. Let's see what I have here for you today. First off, we had the, I guess not a near miss, but it's considered that in astrological terms, you know, astronomical terms. That's what it'd be, not astrological, that's something else. Astronomical terms. So it was like a thing, the big meteor went past us and all that, and between us and the moon, and I didn't feel anything, but I guess I'm close. Here's that. Somebody passed this on. I thought it was kind of cute, so I thought I'd share it with you. I have no idea if this is true or not. Supposedly it's true, I guess. I don't know. If it's on the internet, you have no way of knowing. So I'll just. It's a cute story nonetheless. A bar called Drummond's in Mount Vernon, Texas, began construction on expansion of their building, hoping to grow their business. In response, the nearby Southern Baptist Church started a campaign to block the bar from expanding, with petitions, prayers, etc. About a week before the bar's grand reopening, a bolt of lightning struck the bar and burned it to the ground. Afterward, the church folks were rather smug, bragging about the power of prayer. The angry bar owner eventually sued the church on grounds that the church was ultimately responsible for the demise of his building through direct actions or indirect means. Of course, the church vehemently denied that, any responsibility or connection to the building's demise. The judge read carefully through the plaintiff's complaint and the defendant's reply. He then opened the hearing by saying, "I don't know how I'm going to decide this, but it appears from the paperwork that we have here is a bar owner who believes in the power of prayer and an entire church congregation that does not."
Your business will work better when you work with Coastal Computers. Coastal Computers is here for small business. It doesn't matter whether price is your first concern or your last. Service is Coastal Computers' first concern, and that includes your successful, user-friendly, and painless operation. Really, computer networking with a tail doesn't wag the dog. Coastal Computers is known for making the tough stuff easy. They've been doing it for over 25 years with lots of happy clients, and they're worth a call. 543-9047. 543-9047. Coastal Computers, Microsoft, Intel, and networking specialists. Call 543-9047 or visit ccslo.com. People in the business of letting you get on with your business. Call 543-9047 for Coastal Computers.
All veterans residing in the Atascadero, Templeton, Santa Margarita, and Creston areas are invited to attend the Atascadero Elks Lodge Veterans Recognition Dinner. It's this Wednesday, November 9th at 5 p.m. Dinner will be free to all veterans who are disabled or under a health care provider, and $10 for all others. The Elks will recognize all veterans in attendance. For information or reservations, call the Atascadero Elks at 466-3557.
Hey, we interrupt this. We interrupt our usual procedure here to bring you Major Tom, the engineer. And we had this big thing, this EAS test. That's the new system, not the EBS anymore. EAS. And so this is a system that people can break in. Local authorities can break into anything you're broadcasting, be it TV or radio, and override it and say, here's what's going on. So today we had the first national test of the EAS system, and they sent us a 97-page brochure up here about this whole big test. I see you put it up there on the board there, and I was impressed. They had a lot of words in that thing. Wait, let me get that.
Well, actually, that's the first draft. With our government, you know, they published it. They told every radio station, you need to print this out and post it at all the control points.
Yes.
And then if those of you who were... Remember, a couple of days ago, the FCC or the government announced that they were changing the length of the test from, it was supposed to be 2.5 minutes to 3 minutes long, because some other agency complained and said, okay, now we'll move it down to 30 seconds. So they had to you were supposed to reprint the entire book. I decided not to. I've taken a chance that we weren't going to get inspected by the FCC at this point. I didn't want to waste any more paper
really.
To print the book again, because we have to print it 4 times. I have to put it in each of the studios.
Now, here's what I was surprised. At 11 o'clock, unfortunately, I didn't do it simultaneously. I first watched the TV, and then when it came on the TV, I said to Nancy, turn the radio on. And by the time we got there, I don't know what happened. But here's the deal. So on TV, and here's what surprised me. I bet this was changed also, I'm going to guess, but maybe you know. They just ran a crawler across the bottom, kind of like the regular EBS test they run, you know. I thought they were going to just say, we really need to know this works. We're going to just bang in there and run this right across the middle of the screen, and we're going to block out programming, which they didn't do, which I thought was kind of interesting, because that would be a better test of the system. If they were going to use the system in a national emergency, they're not going to depend on the fact that people are watching, you know, Leave it to Beaver and reading the thing on the bottom of the screen, would they?
I don't follow the video portion of the rules that closely, but I don't think there's any requirement that I'm aware of that says you have to completely interrupt the video image, that running the crawler is sufficient.
But here's what I'm saying.
But yeah, I agree. No, I agree. I would think that, you know.
In a national emergency, you would think that they would say, okay, we don't care about Leave it to Beaver. We're just going to tell people, here's what's going on.
I would agree with that, but that's logical and makes sense, and we all know how that plays in with...
First, I got to tell you, I'm a little creeped out by the guy they found to announce this test thing. Did you see the commercials on television? Did you see the guy they picked?
Okay.
You know, he's just like Mr. Government person, you know what I'm saying? He's so anonymous that it was almost spooky, you know what I mean? He should have had, matter of fact, the way he kind of looked to me, he should have had a fedora on, you know, like in the old days. But I don't know where they found him. I think he's just an average Joe working for Uncle Sam. But
15 minutes
wrong.
Of fame, I guess. Right, I don't know.
He never said his name. I would have snuck my name in there real quick. I'm Bill Beck, I guess what. Now, what happened on radio? How'd radio go?
As I mentioned to you just before, it's... Depending on your inclination, apparently if the President of the United States needs to get a message out to the entire country, it won't happen,
so,
unfortunately.
So here, what you're saying is that we're no better off then, in a sense, than we were with the EBS system, which was voluntary.
No, this was just the federal part of it. I mean...
But did an EBS test run over our signal?
It worked somewhat. The problem, the failure happened in the message. We didn't get the message. So we got the tones, as everybody's familiar with, those tones that people refer to as duck quacks. They use another, we got those, and then we had a little bit of a garbled message, but it was almost unintelligible, and then there was 27 seconds of silence, and then some more tones, and then we went back to regular programming. The message wasn't there. The audio part of the message, which supposedly was supposed to originate from Washington, D.C., didn't happen. It failed somewhere in the chain. Now, I received an email from someone who said from the station that we monitor here in the county that their message from the station they monitor, KRUZ, in Santa Barbara County, that their audio was garbled. So apparently it failed somewhere up the line. And then I saw some more emails from some people in Rhode Island and such. People are obviously communicating that the audio wasn't there, that it was garbled. So it appears that it wasn't just a local problem, that this non-existent or unintelligible audio was.
What was the name of that Happy Submarine movie with Gene Hackman and Denzel Washington, you know, where they had the message and it was garbled and it was back at Crimson Tide. This is a Crimson Tide of EAS right here.
Pretty much.
So I don't know whether to yell, evacuate, run, whatever you're supposed to do when these things happen, or I'm supposed to just remain calm because we have to authenticate.
Well, like I said, this was just the federal level. I mean, we run monthly tests each month and weekly tests and tests from the county all the time, and they work fine. So should the county be need to get a message out, you know, we're going to have better success than we've had from the federal level.
I need to share this with you because this is a. Now, I don't know if they've changed their policy, if they've changed their thinking, whatever. When Diablo Canyon was going to go online and we had to write an evacuation plan, you know, and I did it, you know, I worked very hard at that and I didn't get any remuneration or anything. Anyway, so the federales came and they, because we were the EAS station, EBS station, and they just wanted to go through everything in the whole wide world with me about anything contingent that could happen in a contingency in San Luis Obispo. And so, and they told me stories that were just strange and strange and strange. So they said to me, so I asked them, I said, so let me ask you a question. If you know that if there's a nuclear strike on America, how long do we have? And they said, well, if it comes across the Atlantic, it'd have about 7 minutes. If that's not fired by a submarine. If it came across the Pacific, it'd have about 14 minutes, maybe 12, 14 minutes. So I said, so would you activate the EBS system and tell people that, you know, we have an imminent nuclear attack? They said, oh, absolutely. And I said, well, I don't understand that because people just panic. They wouldn't save them. You know, they just all go crazy. And I said, like in downtown San Luis Obispo, we have room for 112 people that we can shelter in some of the federal building, you know, some of our government buildings in the cellar. 112 people, that's it. So I said, so then everybody else is just screwed anyway. And they go, well, at least there's a chance that somebody might get somewhere that might survive it. Whereas if we don't say anything, nobody's going to get anywhere, and they're not going to survive. So I go, okay, all right, that sounds like an interesting policy right there, you know what I mean? I hope if I have 14 minutes, I'm with my wife at the time. Anyhow, it was a very strange deal right there. So today we found out that we have an unauthenticated EAS message from the federal government.
Yeah, so I don't even, there was a script, and I am assuming that's what the person in Washington read, but we couldn't tell, so.
That's right. EAS had a script before. You had a script. You're supposed to say, here's what's supposed to happen, you know. And I was always worried about it.
Which listeners to KYNS will know that often I'm the one who normally runs the test here, and I usually just kind of sneak it in between commercials or such, and we don't run the script any longer, so it's not required any longer.
The script didn't make any sense.
So we just run the duck quacks, and then we move on with our day.
Well, we should tell people, too. Here was the idea of the EAS system. First off, the EBS system, the old system, it was voluntary, which was very strange. So, for instance, we had the Los Palitos fire coming into San Luis Obispo. It was the north end of town. It was about to engulf the old junior high. KZOZ at that time was rocking and rolling just as normal. Instead of telling people to evacuate out of that part of town, which we had been told by the local authorities to please evacuate that part of town up by Johnson Avenue. It was weird, but that's how the system was. You didn't have to do it. The only requirement you had is, in the event of a national EBS alert, you either had to carry it or shut your radio station off.
That's still
the rule?
That's still pretty much the rule.
Okay,
you're supposed to announce that we are going off the air for an emergency, and please monitor these stations, or
somebody else.
Give somebody else.
But not us. That's really weird. Okay.
Well, but now we're actually a participating station, so we would actually stay on the air and
right.
continue to relay the information from the county or from whomever.
Okay, so the other problems we had back with the old system was, and I'm glad to hear that we got crews down there, whatever that's called. Is it still called crews?
Yeah.
Anyway, they can get the signal up here. Now, we have nothing that can get the signal to the valley, however, if I'm not mistaken, do we? What happens when there used to be the system would poop out when it got to us because we couldn't get it to Visalia where we had to get it to?
Well, that's changed a little bit because it's not a continuous chain, you're referring to the old system where
right.
it was one to the other to the other to the other, and if there was ever a break in the chain, the system now actually is designed with kind of like a pyramid. Starting with the state or the federal government at the top, as it filters down, it hits multiple stations so that every station in the next level is actually monitoring multiple sources.
Okay.
So should there be a failure of one of those sources,
there's
in theory,
yeah.
we should still receive the message. Like we have a county receiver here, and we monitor two other radio stations. So we have the message coming in three different ways. And we actually have a National Weather Service, though they were not participating in this national test today. They were actually, for whatever reason, they weren't going to be relaying the test. But we actually monitor four sources. We monitor the National Weather Service, two radio stations, and the county.
Okay.
So all four of those, if the message was such that it was being broadcast on all four would have to go off the air for us not to receive the message.
Now, here was the other problem with the other system. And when the federales, the FEMA people came in here and talked to me and said, you know, this is how life should be. And I said, well, you have a terrible problem, and I'll tell you what it is. See, what happened was it was like a domino system, and you would send your signal out, your tones, and then that would kick off somebody else's EBS receiver. Then they'd send out the tones, and that would kick off somebody else's EBS receiver. And it kind of went like that. The problem is, if you did exactly as the folder said at that time, if you did your tones and then said, okay, and then started reading the message, your emergency message, it took 22 seconds for the other receiver to come on. You would have already said what you had to say before that receiver ever came on, and then you'd be done. You see what I'm saying? It took 22 seconds from the time you set your tones until the time their receiver clicked open and got your and started to broadcast your message. So the problem with that was, if you read the script the way it was, you say, this is an emergency broadcast message authorized by San Luis Obispo County. We need to have the areas of such and such an area evacuated and evacuated now. If that was the whole thing you did, and then you went back off until they told you to do it again, that the other people would never have heard it.
Oh, okay.
Because it happened too fast. So I said to the federal government, I said, this can't possibly work, and here's why. So I said, the only thing you could really do to make this work is to continuously read it, you know, for a few minutes and make sure that everybody got the message. And they looked at me, and, you know, with one of those looks how you get from a government person, and they went, young man, I was young then, youngish, young man, this system has been in place long before you ever got into radio, and obviously it must work, otherwise why would we have it in every radio station? I go, I have the faintest idea, sir. I don't know, because it really doesn't work
how
at all.
How can you argue with logic like that?
I like that, you know. It's been
but
around.
Actually, the new system actually records the message. So
well, and that's cool. And so that's why I mentioned to you what we did was we got one-way radios and cassette recorders attached to them so that we would have in this county a viable system to communicate with county authority. And so that way they could go to the Darth Vader's house out there in Kansas.
I have one of those receivers up in storage.
Yeah. Okay, so. But that, thank you. You're very welcome. That was Bill Benica's idea.
Oh, okay.
But
thank you,
know
Bill.
What really
would you like it back? I could break it out of storage for you.
But
you could take it home.
I think I may still have some cassettes. Here's the thing. But here's the thing that was weird about that. Do you know why that? We did that for two reasons. Not just because the other system used to fail half the time anyway. But the other thing was, and are you ready for this? We had a big meeting. One of our big EBS meetings that had all the radio station people and all the cops and the firemen and everybody in the whole wide world out there on Kansas 7. And so somebody said, what prevents Bill Benica from running a station promo for his radio station over the EBS system in the event of an emergency? So everybody turned to me, you know, and I go, can I ask you, do you honestly think that's what I'm going to be doing in an emergency? They go, but you could. But you could. I go, well, yeah, I guess you could, you know what I mean? So I said, no, I really wouldn't do that. But they were, everybody was so adamant about, well, that we have to, we can't just have KVC at that time be the source. It was called a CPCS1. We can't have them be the source. We have to have some other way. So that's when we decided, okay, let's try this radio thing with a dog catcher frequency and see if we can make that thing work. It was a very strange. Attitude about the whole thing.
The one thing that I did think was interesting on this test that we did here was that I expected to receive the message from the county too, which I didn't receive. I was actually listening. I actually turned on the receiver that we have for the county, which is still on the dog catcher channel. Yeah. And at the time that I expected the message was talk about Fido down the street was running around or something. There was no message from the county. So I do need to follow up with the county to find out, because I expected them to send it too as the backup. I mean, we received it from our two sources, our two radio station sources, but we didn't receive it from the county. And I kind of expected that, but maybe there's something there that I'm not aware of. But we should have received that. But I did, back to your other issue, I work with our stations up in Monterey on our equipment up there too, because we, Mapleton owns stations up in the Monterey area. And KPIG, which is in Watsonville, is actually an LP1 or LP2. That's one of the new designations. So there are other stations monitoring KPIG up in Watsonville for monthly tests. In this case, it was a monthly test. And I have instruction sheets up there for all the operators up there on how to run a monthly test. And last October, or this past October, we were supposed to run a test at 11:55 in the evening. And it was there, and the gentleman, the DJ, was there, and he ran the test. And I wasn't in the area to listen to it, but I looked at the programming, and everything looked like it ran fine. Then I received this email from a very unhappy person at another radio station who commented that the test ran. He received the test, but underneath the script that the DJ at KPIG read was music playing. So he apparently had left something playing, and we're not sure what it was. It was some song or something, and he was reading the message, and this person was very unhappy that his station, that his listeners, though they received the message, but they were also subjected to the music of KPIG for the 30 seconds of the message.
Can I confess something I did one time? Back in the old days when there was only about five stations or whatever it was when I first got here. Anyway, so we had KPRL, which was the second radio station in the county, and we had KVC where I was the first radio station in the county. So we all, both ran Paul Harvey. All right, we both ran the rest of the story in Paul Harvey's news and commentary. A girl that had worked for me that I had to ask if she could go work for somebody else because she thought it was more important to go home and make marijuana brownies than to do the work at the radio station. So I thought, okay, you need to work someplace else. And so she did. She went to work at KPRL. So as soon as she went to work there, every day she'd call me for this whole week. She'd call and she'd say, Bill, I missed the Paul Harvey feed. Can you send it to me? So we could actually send it down a phone line and say, okay, yeah, you can have this. Anyway, but so the third day, I was like, you have to be kidding me. I said, how do you not catch this? How can you not catch this? You know at this time you have to do it. How can you not tape this guy? And so she goes, I don't know. I said, okay, I'll send it to you. Well, I took out the commercial, and I put a KVC promo in there. And so it ran on KPRL with a KVC promo. The next day she called, she had missed it again. I put the KVC promo in, and it ran on KPRL. The third day, which was Friday, I did it again. And finally, the owners were listening at that point for whatever reason that morning, and they apparently read her the riot act, and she called me and said, well, did you do this? I go, yes, I did. And I said, I should feel bad, but I don't feel real bad. You know, so way life is, you know, competitive world of radio. Anyway, we hope the next EAS test that we do on a national basis will be number one, a test is what we hope, and number two, it will be highly successful. So
we'll I haven't heard any comments as to whether or not I think the government, the FCC, was probably waiting to hear the results of this one too, as to whether or not they're going to schedule another one.
But here's the point, you know, we get to this thing again about, you know, I realize it's a government operation, and so that always tends to lead one to suspicion that maybe you could screw up. But at the same time, you know, we owe it to the citizens of this country, I think, to have a system that, you know, they can be notified. You know, it seems the local systems seem to work. You know, when we've had these hurricanes and whatnot and floods and all that, the local systems seem to, you know, be back in order these days.
Yeah, we do much better on the local level than we do. But this was this system, this new system, the EAS system, has been installed and operational for, how many years has it been? It's been 7 years or so, 8 years since EBS was replaced. And most of the engineers, we were commenting, 7 years, it's taken the government 7 years to realize that maybe we need to do a national level test to see if this would actually work. And we just kind of,
The only thing, back in the old days, before Homeland Security and everything else, we had to worry about all these threats. The only thing I could think that they, and I kind of asked them, I said, is there anything in the whole wide world besides a nuclear attack that you would activate the national system? And at the time, the guy said, I can't imagine. Now, I would think, I don't know if they'd activate a national system for this or what they would do, but let's say suddenly multiple reservoirs or something were poisoning people. Because somebody had a huge scheme on that. I don't know if they'd activate this system nationally and say, don't drink anything for the moment, or what they would do. I'm not sure. But, that's the kind of thing now you'd have to look at possibly happening.
Yeah, I mean, they've added over the years, they've added new alerts into the system. I mean, originally we had just the standard ones. We had the weather alerts, thunderstorms, flood, winds, and such, and over the years, they've added new alerts. That's one of the benefits of this new system is that they can, on a regular basis, just add new alerts. They've added radiological issues to our area or, to the system. They've added the Amber Alert system that was recently added a few years ago so that people could get out, for child abduction alerts.
Okay.
And so this system actually that we use today is scheduled to be replaced. It's being replaced incrementally now, and it will be fully replaced by June of next year. But the basic principles of this system are still going to be the same things that are in the new system. The new system is supposed to be more reliable. We'll see if it'll address some of the shortfalls that happened today. But it allows for the government or entities, even local entities, to create their own situations, we have to have plans for a radiological or a containment issue at Diablo, but there's certainly areas of the country that don't need to worry about that from that level, because they don't live near nuclear power, and
right.
And just so we don't have to worry so much about snowstorms and things like that here, but we have tsunamis and we have other warnings in our system that
we should probably mention that. We should mention somehow else how the government thought. Now, at one time, KVC was at the corner of Walnut and Choro, and it had a bomb shelter. That's what it theoretically was, and they had EMP equipment on the electromagnetic pulse, anti-electromagnetic pulse equipment on the transmitter tower. And so the idea was, and here's the thing, they threw money at EBS kind of haphazardly because, and I asked them, why don't you do this or this or this instead? And they went, all we need to do is show the Soviet Union that we're spending as much money as they are on protecting our citizens. I said, but they actually are protecting their citizens. They got shelters and whatnot. I go, it doesn't matter. It's just all propaganda anyway. So I'm okay, fine. So they put the EMP gear on the thing. And I said to him, I said, now, can I understand something? Because tell me if I'm wrong here. Anything that's transistorized, including cars, if they have an electromagnetic pulse, will stop. So the radios won't work, the cars won't work, nothing will work because of the electromagnetic pulse if there's a nuclear attack. The only thing that will work is KVC will be able to broadcast to no one.
Well, anything that is on.
Yeah,
anything that's turned on
that's
at the time.
On. Yeah. So he just looked at me and said, that's a very cynical view, It's like, what? Yeah, it is. So then we went on, and so here in this bomb shelter, they said, we were supposed to be able to, I think we had C rations in there or something. We were supposed to be able to survive for, I think it was 3 to 5 days. All right. So the first thing I said was, what do we use for a toilet, in here for 3 to 5 days? And he goes, well, I don't know. The trash can, I suppose. I go, that's going to be no fun. And so I go, then we had dosimeters, and I had to learn how to use the dosimeters. I had to learn how to use a Geiger counter. So we had these dosimeters, and so they explained to me that, if the Rankine levels got up to a certain amount, because you exposed, let's say you went out to see how things were, and you got a certain amount of radiation, that this dosimeter would tell you how cooked you were. Okay, so I said to the guy, I said, well, what if you come back in here and it says you're gone, you're a goner now, you're dead. You know, I said, could we have a dog or a cat or something we could put it on and send them out and have them come back? You know, I mean, I don't want to be rural or mean about this, but, you know, I just thought that it would seem to be tough to sacrifice a program director when, you know, there was all these stray animals. Anyhow, they didn't agree with that. They thought, you know.
Gee, I can't imagine why.
Program directors are a dime a dozen, you know what I mean? Okay, fine. So that's what happened there. So anyway,
well, as far as I know, I'm not sure I'm giving away any secrets. I don't believe there's any stations that are currently, you know, hardened against EMPs or anything. PG&E back in the beginning or back in the early days of Diablo did provide a couple stations with generators for studios and transmitters, but that was many years ago. Most of those are no longer functioning, and so the stations that have generators are more likely provided by the station itself has just decided to purchase the generator to put it in.
But here's the interesting thing, and I have to tell you this. The federal government, before PG&E provided those generators, okay, and obviously one was the KVC, one was to 1400 AM, and one was the KZOZ, so they provided three generators. I asked them to provide one to the TV station, and they said at that time, just try to imagine this, here's government thinking again. At that time, KSBY didn't have teletext that you could run across the bottom of the screen or the top or the middle, wherever you want to run it. They didn't have teletext, so they said we're not even imagining that people are going to be tuned to KSBY in the event of this emergency because they don't have teletext. And I said, I don't understand what that means. What are you saying that for? And they said, well, because blind people wouldn't be able to see it. And I said, well, they can't see the TV anyway, you know. And so if there's 1% of the population is blind, do you sacrifice the other 99% of the population that might be watching TV by saying, no, you don't have a generator, you can't run? You go, that's the rules.
Was that the beginning of the 1% and 99%?
I think it probably was, right?
Situation?
There. That's right. And so that didn't make any sense either. But here's the nice part. At the radio station, what was nice was the original generator we had powered a microphone. We had little tiny emergency lights that would come on around the building, one in each room. I mean, it was real tiny lighting. And then the interesting thing was you'd have to turn off all of the tape recorders. You'd have to turn off every piece of equipment, the whole station, lights, everything else that you didn't need because the turntables would start to slow down, you know. And so it sounded kind of weird, as a matter of fact, like the musicians were on drugs, you know. So anyway, so if we turned off absolutely everything else in the station, then we could get the turntables to turn pretty much the right speed, so we were okay in the emergency. But you couldn't see, you couldn't announce anything or read anything because you couldn't see a darn thing.
Well, but that's true nowadays. I mean, there are stations that the generators only provide backup power to the facilities for broadcast. Like our generator here.
Does our lights stay on?
Our generator here provides power for all the stations, but it does not run the air conditioning system. Because
I understand. Okay, I can see why they sacrifice it.
You know, or the heater. I guess it's the same system. So, and it doesn't provide power lighting to the front of the building to where the salespeople are. So it just provides lighting for the studios, hallway, emergency lighting, and then all of the equipment in the building to keep the stations on the air.
Keep them sales droids. That's their comeuppance right there.
So,
all right.
Next, I got a call that next. Well, in 2 weeks from PG&E, they're going to be installing our smart meter.
Oh, they are.
Yeah, and so we will. I'm going to run our generator ahead of time, but still, for a period of time while they're installing our smart meter, we'll be running on the generator, and the front office won't have power.
You know, I have to tell you this. I'm not. Before we get to the smart meter, let me tell you one more story. That's interesting. The smart meter thing. Okay.
Yeah.
No, that's an interesting point. One more story. That was kind of interesting. I was a real thorn in the county side as a
you? No.
As EBS chairman. I really was like a pain in their butt. But that's okay.
No.
I was. But here's the thing. So one late afternoon in the winter, we had a huge storm come through San Luis, knocked out power to the entire city. Was without power. The entire city was without power. So we had another thing we could communicate with somehow as a tin can, a string, or something with the county. So we talked to them and said, I think it was a radio, and we said, can you we should activate the EBS system. And they said, absolutely not. There's no reason to do that. Because here's the thing. The CPCS-1, which was what that station was, I'll just keep saying it, because what there was a KVC, was a CP, they were the main broadcast station. Well, the program director and or general manager had the authority, if you were in the CPCS-1, to actually run the EBS system. And that all you'd have to do is basically report that you had done it to the FCC. So I said, I think we better run the EBS system because we have absolutely no traffic lights in the entire city. You know, no lighting, no traffic lights, no anything. Because back then they didn't blink when they went haywire. They just went out. And so I said, I can just see mayhem coming up here. And so they said, well, we really don't want to activate it. We really don't have to find whatever. So I activated the darn thing. You know, oh, they were so mad at me for so long. I was like, you know, they had, you know, how dare you? How dare you defy the county and activate the EBS system? I thought, you know what? I'm going to try to save somebody's life. I don't really care what the county thinks. So that's what I did.
Well, I think the rules are still there. I'd have to, since we're not a LP station, which is
right.
which is one of the
lead,
ones on the
lead
top
player.
But you know, we would never be in a position to activate the ES ourselves. But I do know there are several entities that can do it, being the county and the state, and there are other entities that can. So I'm assuming, I'm thinking that one of the LP stations could still activate it. I'd have to check that out a little bit, but I think that's still in the rules that if you're one of the controlling stations, you could still activate it on your own, and all you would have to do is notify, you know, the federal government, the FCC, after you did it, that you did it. Because the whole connection between the broadcasters and the county, that's not spelled out through the federal government, other than they encourage areas to work together to create a plan that covers your area and the specifics for your area.
And they did encourage it, you know, and a lot of people's attitude was, of course, in radio was, well, you know, you don't want to make waves with the FCC because then they'll come by and inspect you for something else or whatever the heck it was. You know, we, at the time, we ran that radio station in such a way that it was, well, you know, if they come in here and find something wrong, it's something we completely overlooked because we look at everything. And so there's nothing we could do about it anyway. And so, you know, we were always in compliance to the nth degree, so we just never worried about the FCC. But I suppose other stations who maybe, and I know other stations we all do, and radio that were not in total compliance with their license, perhaps they'd be more nervous about such a thing.
Well, inspections are quite remote nowadays with they state because of budgetary issues generally speaking, if an FCC inspector shows up on our door here, it's because we did something wrong and somebody turned us in, which is, that's still allowed by, that's still, any member of the public could call up the FCC and say, yeah, I don't like, you know, so-and-so, they're doing this wrong. And, of course, the inspector, depending on what it is that they're doing wrong, the inspector would say, tough, or they'd say, okay, we'll go check it out. So.
Well, usually what it is, though, is that, you know, the main thing the public input on is the public file. You know, they can file a complaint, they can write a letter, they can do those things, and that has to stay, you know, that has to be available to anybody in the public at any time, you know, during regular business
hours.
Well,
the term is still there, or this kind of statement is still in the books of the FCC, is that every radio station is licensed to a community. I mean, KYNS is licensed to San Luis Obispo. Some of our other stations are licensed to Pismo Beach and various communities. They may be based in another city, but they're licensed to a particular city. That's just the way the government does it. And there's still this statement in there that says every licensee is supposed to serve for the community good, which is a kind of a broad term.
Well, but that, see, with the deregulation, of course, that changed in its own way. Instead of each radio station having to run a certain amount of sports, religion, public service programming, all that kind of stuff, we still have public service programming as an obligation. But, of course, being a talk station, we're considered a public service no matter what. I mean, we're running hours and hours a day of public service. So, but you used to, every radio station had to fill out their renewal on their license renewal and say, this is how many minutes or hours we're going
to
do.
Well, we still have to do that. There's an issue called the quarterly issues report that we have to do, obviously.
Every quarter, how we address
the
community,
and that's up to us. And generally speaking, like last time that we did get inspected, one of our stations got inspected. And it was actually, I say, because he came here, but it was the FCC still does random inspections. So it does happen. But
they're more, I would imagine nowadays, they're more for technical, you know, reasons, you know, the parameters you're transmitter.
Yeah, there's certain things that they check, but one of the things they do check for is the quarterly issues. Now, they don't go through and see, you know, they're not in the community, so they don't know what issues, what topics were important to the community at the, you know, for the last quarter or for the last, and actually we have to keep them for the entire, our license is good for 7 years. In fact, we're coming up for relicensing in 2013, we'll be relicensing all the stations in California. All the stations in California get licensed in 2013, relicensed. And that's a time when the community can file. We file with the FCC to renew our license, and that's when the community can file and say, hey, I don't think, if they want to, I don't think KYNS has served the public interest. Of course, they have to explain why they think that is. You know, and the FCC will review that and determine whether or not it has any merit. But we still have to address those quarterly issues. We still have to have a report every quarter in our public file that obviously the public can come and review as to how we feel we have addressed the issues of the community. And they have say, you know, we're licensed to, like KYNS is licensed to San Luis Obispo. We have to address the issues to San Luis Obispo. There are some issues for San Luis Obispo that wouldn't be as important to, you know, Pismo Beach or Los Osos or whatever.
Hiding your garbage can.
Yeah, I mean, those are only issues that are important. And the FCC tries to, you know, encourage you to address the issues that are specifically important to your community of license.
The other thing, too, that people need to realize this also is, because this is a time when people might say, you know, well, we don't like this guy or that gal or whatever, you know, we want to get rid of him. The FCC is not concerned one iota with programming, provided you're not you're abiding by community standards. They don't care about programming.
Yeah, the whole talk of the fairness doctrine, which really doesn't exist anymore. There are issues with political, as far as we have to, if we accept program or accept a paid political announcement from one party, we have to offer that same rate to everybody,
right,
regardless of their, you know, we can't charge one because we're on this side of this issue, so we're going to charge this guy more than we charge this guy. No, that's
but
not
here's
allowed.
The thing that's really sad too is, and people should know this one because we're going to have politics up and yin yang coming up here at the end of the year, next year, and that is this: the idea was, in order to have public discourse of the issues, the idea was that you sell political advertising at the lowest unit rate you've charged anybody the entire year, or actually it's 90 days before. So the last 90 days, whatever the lowest unit you charged anybody, that's what you have to charge politicians. So the idea was then that politicians would do their, you know, they'd come on the air, they'd talk about their own issues and their own campaigns, and that they'd have the lowest unit rate so they could afford to do that. They immediately found a way around that by, you know, the power. You know, they went right back to the federales and said, well, you know, what if we just our voice appears on it? You know, which is why you now hear political advertising that has nothing to do with the candidate except his point of view by somebody else expressing it, and at the very end paid for by, you know, the secretary of the treasury of the thingy, whatever. So all they have to do is have their voice on at the very end, which was self-defeating for what the whole purpose was of saying, okay, we'll give you the lowest unit rate. So I have to admit, as a broadcaster, as a commercial broadcaster, I sort of resent the fact that we have to give politicians the lowest unit rate, you know, because, you know, they've circumvented the whole program anyway. But c'est la vie, that's the way it is.
And those rules come up. I'm sure there'll be a new training session. The issues that apply to those rules come up all the time whenever there's an election, and there's actually full day training sessions on how to address those issues and how we as broadcasters have to meet the legal requirements of, you know, what we're of the political announcements. I mean, we have to. There are certain things that go in the public file that deal with the politicians that we have to keep in there and all that stuff. I mean, that's almost a full-time job especially in a very, you know, heated election year like next year will be, that's a full-time job just keeping all that stuff straight.
Now, here's an interesting thing, too. I had the FCC make a ruling once because Bill Beneke made an inquiry. And so what they ruled was this, that let's say you had commercials you missed. We call those make goods, which means you're going to make them up at another time. And you tell the advertiser, you know, we missed these, and we're going to make them up. And you're going to make them on the same day part that they bought and all that kind of stuff. But here's the interesting thing. The question that came up was, do you have to, let's say you had a commercial that you sold at a very low rate and you missed some and had to make them up. Can you make them up during that 90 days without having to have the politicians pay that price? Or do you have to have them made up before 90 days? And the FCC ruled that you have before that 90-day window, before an election, you have to have those make goods made up. Otherwise, if that was the lowest rate you had, even if it was before the 90 days, you'd still have to, you could only charge that rate to a politician. Now, I, being a nice guy, see, the FCC, I always thought it was kind of fun to mess with the FCC.
I'm getting that sense here. You seem to enjoy that. So.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. Now here's something I never did bring up, but it was very. I mean, I would have been hung and lynched by other radio people on the edge of town. But here's an interesting thing that they had. They had these promotions all the time where you'd have bumper stickers, all right, and they'd say, put your bumper sticker on your car and you win a prize, all right. Nowhere in the rules did anybody ever say that I noticed. From people that preceded me and other radio stations, I sort of asked around. I say, when you put in your rules, you know, because you had to write out all the rules of the contest and have that on file. If you put in your rules that you have to have a bumper sticker, that's part of what's called lottery because it's consideration. You have to have a bumper. In order to have a bumper sticker, you have to have a bumper. Theoretically, you have to have a car. So nobody's contest ever said, put this on your bumper or put it in your window of your house. And if we spot it, you know, you could be a winner. They always said put it on the bumper of your car. Well, in a lottery, it's considered prize consideration and chance. So it's a chance, which it always is, of course, that you would happen to see the bumper sticker. The prize is whatever prize you're going to award. But consideration is the fact that you have to, you're physically requiring somebody to do something or have something in order to qualify, which is why people that have drawings at a store, where if you buy something, you get to go on a drawing. You can't advertise that right on radio because that's basically a lottery. Well, bumper stickers were a lottery. You had to have a bumper.
Well, I know, like, because Wild 106, one of our sister stations, does that a lot. JoJo does that a lot. But I do know that in a lot of cases, they've changed the name. Of course, they're not calling them bumper stickers anymore. They call them window stickers.
Oh, okay.
Which gives you by that.
Yeah, gives you by that.
But that I saw some pictures that when they were doing one of these recently, that they actually had a person on a bicycle. So that was fine. I mean.
Oh, all right. That's cool.
And I never did see anybody just walk up, but I suppose I don't think that JoJo would have turned them away if they just wanted to walk up and slap a window sticker on part of their body. that would qualify too, I guess. You're right, but yes, I could understand how.
Now they had, it was interesting when I first came to work over there at KBC years ago, 35 years ago now. The sales manager was all excited. He says, you know, we got this great promotion going on. I go, really? What is it? He says, yeah, everybody does bumper stickers. We're not doing that. He says, we're doing antenna balls. I go, what do they look like? He says, hey, I'll show you. And they had like 5,000 of these styrofoam balls that said KVC on these things. And so they were going to do some promotion with that. And so I looked at him. I said, you know, that's a good idea, those things, I think. And I didn't realize the impact of what was going to happen in a college town by putting those things on windshields, because then the contest was how many of these balls could you collect for your fraternity. You know. But the other thing, though, I said to him, though, that was obvious to me was, I said, now what are you going to do about General Motors cars? He goes, what are you talking about? I said, General Motors cars have the antennas in the windshield. You know, that was the time they were doing that. He goes, they are? I go, yeah, they don't have an outside antenna. They're in there. And he goes, I didn't realize that. I said, that's okay. So it's for everybody but General Motors people, I guess. It was like, who understands? Who knows about these things? Who can understand? Well, we've had an interesting chat. There was one other thing you brought up I was going to go backwards on real quick, though. I don't remember what it was. Something you said that I was going to ask you about. Anyway, okay, that's it. That's it.
There'll be, as the results of this national test come through, there'll be good points and bad points. But for us, on the federal level, just listeners should be content with the fact that on a local level we do much better. Our county is much
well
more
covered,
you know, able to get a message out if they need to. On the federal level, looks like we still have a few bugs to work out. So.
And you don't want to know what they're going to tell you anyway. So. Any comments or thoughts or anything you want to add? 786-2578. That's 786-2578 or 1-866-937-1340. Tommy, I thank you very much for taking the time to help us out with that.
Sure. Now I have to go to the FCC website and I have to go in and log in and report how all the stations did. So they actually are requiring us to do that. So they will get a follow up as to exactly how we did.
All right, we did good. Just to make sure, KY and S, we did good.
We did good.
We did good. All right, thanks, Tommy. That's I don't say your last name because you know names have been changed to protect the innocent. Major Tom, our engineer. All right, we thank Tom for that stuff. It's time to do our birthdays and what happened on this day in history. It's a little pastime. Oh, and then I got better get to this other thing too. Otherwise, I'm going to run into trouble. I'm going to have a confusion. All right, let's do this real quick. Our flashback in history, our highlight in history on November 9th in 1965, the Great Northeast Blackout occurred as a series of power failures lasting up to 13 and a half hours left 30 million people in seven states and part of Canada without electricity. See, they had a big power outage. In 1938, Nazis looted and burned synagogues and Jewish stores and houses in Germany and Austria in a program that became known as Kristallnacht. In 1953, Welsh author-poet Dylan Thomas died in New York at the age of 39. 1961, U.S. Air Force Major Robert M. White became the first pilot to fly an X-15 rocket plane at six times the speed of sound. The Beatles' future manager, Brian Epstein, first saw the group perform in the Cavern Club in Liverpool, England. In 1989, Communist East Germany threw open its borders, allowing citizens to travel freely to the West. Joyous Germans danced atop the Berlin Wall. What a day it was. 1 year ago, former President George W. Bush officially kicked off the release of his memoir, Decision Points, with a book signing in Dallas. Birthdays today, born today, Baseball Hall of Famer Bob Gibson is 76, actor Lou Ferrigno is 60, and gospel singer Donnie McClurkin is 52 today. Happy birthday to them, and happy birthday to you if it's yours.
Happy birthday to you.
Looking for a great holiday gift idea that won't break the bank? Remember this name.
Slow Roasted Coffee.
That's right.
Slow Roasted Coffee.
They're your local neighbors, and their coffee is always a crowd pleaser. Now's the time of year to enjoy Slow Roasted Coffee's special holiday blends. Candy cane, pumpkin pie, winter wonderland, and a favorite, cinnamon gingerbread. Folks love their coffee, and if you're wondering what to give your coworker or need to pick up a host gift before you go to that holiday party, it's Slow Roasted Coffee to the rescue. Got someone out of town? Send them a gift from the happiest place on earth. Shop online at slowroasted.com. They'll ship it for you. Locally, you'll find Slow Roasted Coffee at grocery stores throughout the county. This holiday season, don't just drink coffee, enjoy it. Drink Slow Roasted Coffee. So good.
Hi, this is Jackie, owner of Red Dirt Coffee House in Arroyo Grande. Paul and I love using Radio Central Coast because I'm not afraid to admit we're true grommets to the advertising world. Radio Central Coast helped define our Aloha spirit on the air. They met us at our convenience, and we're so affordable, it was so easy. It gives me more time to spend and greet all of my new radio listening customers Aloha style.
If you would like to increase more foot traffic into your business like Red Dirt Coffee House, give Radio Central Coast a call today, 786-2570. That's 786-2570. And get your business name, services, and location out over the airwaves. New clients, more money, more time to focus on your business. Give Radio Central Coast a call today at 786-2570.
Red Dirt Coffee House in Arroyo Grande truly thanks Radio Central Coast for helping us reach our goals and truly offering us more grinds for our buck.
Go, Mo. Mo barbecue, please.
Mo ribs, Mo chicken, Mo pork, Mo beef, Mo burgers, Mo onion rings, Mo potato chips, Mo beans, Mo fried green tomatoes.
Mo barbecue, please.
Mo slaw, Mo tater salad, Mo house salad, Mo Cobb salad, Mo Caesar salad, and Mo's Calypso salad. Mo sodas, Mo brewskis, Mo lemonade, Mo iced tea.
Mo barbecue, please.
At Osus in Monterey and San Luis Obispo and Pismo, it's the bomb. Pomeroy's most bodacious beach barbecue, babies.
Mo barbecue, please.
Here's the news.
you.
Yeah.
We found Larry Canoe sitting in a chair next to his hospital bed at Methodist Hospital, his right leg bandaged, but his mind clear. He remembered exactly how his foot slipped into the auger.
I had to wait for it to, well, it was going against my foot, and it was grabbing my boot, and when it did that, it was grabbing a hold of my knee, and I knew if it got a hold of my foot and knee at the same time, it dragged me in up to there, and then I was done. So what I did then, I waited till I knew it was in the right position, and I jerked and broke my foot off, and that's what got me out then.
Larry knew how the auger worked because he's been around them his whole life. An auger has metal blades that push corn, soybeans, even rocks.
I could feel it, and I just knew when it was going to come around. I was hoping it had ate enough of my bone that I could pull up and get my leg out. And I had to pull hard, but I mean, here I am, so it worked.
But it's what happened next that is amazing.
My truck was parked about 100 to 120 feet away from me. I had to hop one leg into it. And that's what kind of got me messed up, because I thought, well, I've used up. I could feel my heart pumping. And I thought, man, it's just pumping me dry. I didn't know whether I'd have enough blood left to get to Dad's house.
CBS News, I'm Harley Carnes.
The ball just kind of keeps bouncing around from country to country, and I think we're going to continue to see this happening.
Now, says stocks analyst Jonathan Corpina, the focus is Italy, which has enormous national debt, maybe too big for the EU to bail out. The cost of borrowing shot up to 7% overnight. When that happened in Ireland and in Portugal, they needed bailouts. CBS's Alexis Christophorus.
It's really all about Europe and specifically about Italy at this moment. Italy is very important to the European economy because it is the third largest economy within the Eurozone. So if Italy were to go belly up, it would have a ripple effect throughout the economies in Europe and would at some point affect us here in the U.S.
On Wall Street today, the Dow lost 384 points. The Nasdaq was off 105. A fresh earthquake in Turkey has collapsed at least one hotel and some office buildings in the city of Van, magnitude 5.7. That same city hit hard by an earthquake a couple of weeks ago. No word yet on casualties. Penn State University football coach Joe Paterno has offered his resignation end of season, and the president of the university is reportedly either resigning or being fired over the sex scandal. Governor Tom Corbett.
There is a legal issue. There is a moral issue. I am personally disappointed in the lack of action.
Paterno's under the gun because he and other university officials failed to call police immediately upon hearing that a former assistant coach might have sexually abused a young boy in the locker room showers on campus. That man, Jerry Sandusky, now faces at least 7 counts of abusing young boys. A Saudi alleged to be a senior al-Qaeda figure faces charges of orchestrating the deadly terror attack on the USS Cole in Yemen.
Family members of the 17 sailors who died on board the Cole were invited to view the arraignment of 46-year-old Abid al-Nashiri on a closed-circuit feed here in Norfolk. He's charged with planning and preparing the attack in October 2000, but this morning he did not enter a plea. John Klodfelter was in the Gitmo courtroom to see Nashiri. He lost his son Kenneth in the attack.
Just a way of letting him know, hey, you may have killed my son and 16 of his buddies, but you're not getting away with this.
Nashiri is the first person in the military tribunals to face the death penalty under President Obama. Jessica Stone for CBS News, Norfolk, Virginia.
It is storming in Nome, Alaska. Hurricane force winds at times and a nasty cold storm whipping across the Bering Sea. Coastal communities brace for seawater, snow driven sideways at 70-plus miles an hour is not fun for anyone. State emergency officials say it's an extremely dangerous storm. Eddie Murphy quit as host of the Academy Awards in solidarity with his friend and co-producer Brett Ratner, who was forced out over an anti-gay comment. Ratner also produced Eddie Murphy's current movie, Tower Heist, which is now in theaters. And some TV viewers and radio listeners missed the first simultaneous emergency alert system test 2 hours ago, didn't get the signal. This is CBS News.
Mike Rowe went to a real Ford dealership service department to talk to a real Ford service advisor about a big event.
Fiona, if I didn't know better, I'd say you're having some sort of, what, sales event?
Yes, we are. Big tire and brake sales event.
That means that you've got lots of different tires?
Yes, we do.
And how do I know as a consumer that Ford has the kind of tire that I need for my particular vehicle?
Well, we carry 11 major brands, so chances are what you're looking for, we have it.
What are the important aspects of the sale?
Right now, we have special rebates, offers, and discounts going on.
You're selling brakes as well?
Yes, we are.
Why should somebody bring their car here to get the brakes done?
When you bring your vehicle to a Ford dealership, you know that your vehicle's being worked on by technicians who work on Fords all day long.
And when you stop by now, you can buy four select tires and get a $100 rebate. Plus a $40 rebate on Motorcraft Complete Brake Service. That's expert service and money back in your pocket.
So you have a lot of tires, and it's a big event.
It's a huge event.
And it involves brakes, too.
Yes, it does.
Which is why it's called the Big Tire Brake Sales Event.
You're good.
Yeah, thank you.
Be participating Ford dealer or visit FordOwner.com for vehicle exclusions and rebate details through 11/30/11.
Women are expected to have a bit more body fat stores than men, the better to bear children. But these days, the CDC says that situation just keeps getting bigger.
In most age groups, girls have a higher percentage of body fat than boys. The CDC's Catherine Flegel says they looked at boys and girls ages 8 through 19, and she says by the time boys reach 19, the average body fat is 23%, compared to girls with a body fat index of nearly 35%.
Just generally, women have a higher percentage of body fat than men do.
And she says the problem is, in most cases, for girls, body fat just keeps going up with age. Sabrina Gibbons for CBS News, Atlanta.
Police in Hastings, Michigan say a meth cooker suspect hid from them in a pile of leaves. It was a good hide, except the police had infrared and they could see his body heat. Police say he jumped up, ran, and dove into the river and got away, but he left his backpack behind. The suspect was arrested later at a hotel where he had changed out of his wet clothing. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
500 new business cards. That's 500 first impressions.
At Staples, we know your business printing is important.
30 copies of a killer proposal. 30 yeses to a career-changing deal.
So Staples certified print pros make sure it's perfect.
One new store sign, thousands of new shoppers.
Great business printing can be the difference between making a sale and missing one. Right now, get 30% off any copy and print orders of $30 or more. Visit Staples.com or text Staples to 84444. Offer ends 11/12. Staples, that was easy.
Hey guys, Macy's Veterans Day sale is the way to build your wardrobe. With 50% savings on the season's best outerwear, sweaters, woven tops, and more. 50% off designers like Tommy Hilfiger, Kenneth Cole Reaction, and Calvin Klein. And it gets even better with an extra 15 or 10% off when you use your Macy's card or savings pass. It's the way to save right now in the men's store at Macy's. Savings off regular sale and clearance prices. Exclusions apply.
California, California dream.
SouthCoastNews.com on KYNS, your news station.
A couple stories a day from CalcoastNews.com on 1340 KYNS, your news station, and they are these. This was by Javier Duran. It's an opinion piece, basically. As a member of the armed forces and being currently deployed in Afghanistan, I'm taken back to the thought of the legislature using my family living in San Luis Obispo's benefits as means to address the budget issues. I swore to protect the Constitution and the American way of life. The least the American government can do is provide the medical and retirement resources due to me and other soldiers risking and giving their lives for the protection of our country. Being deployed, my mind is at ease knowing my family does not have to worry of any medical expenses while I'm fighting in a foreign country. There is nothing worse that you can do to affect a soldier's morale while deployed than to affect his family's financial means. I have a hard enough time coping with the loss of my brothers and sisters only to realize the worry of my family needing financial and medical support. It would be a great insult to see Congress or the Department of Defense effect to change the benefits we American soldiers have long fought for. As the minority 1% being protected As a minority 1% helping protect the rest of the country, it is only just to maintain the level of support entitled to the few willing to sacrifice their lives for many. I want to provide this. I want to provide a link for those interested in issues affecting American soldiers. The current topic in the budget shopping blocks medical and retirement benefits for U.S. soldiers. So there was an attached link to that. But anyway, he's employed in Afghanistan with a 217th Finance Management Detachment. After we get back, I'll read what someone had to say about that, but that's Calcoast News for now.
All veterans residing in the Atascadero, Templeton, Santa Margarita, and Creston areas are invited to attend the Atascadero Elks Lodge Veterans Recognition Dinner. It's this Wednesday, November 9th at 5 p.m. Dinner will be free to all veterans who are disabled or under a health care provider, and $10 for all others. The Elks will recognize all veterans in attendance. For information or reservations, call the Atascadero Elks at 466-3557.
November has been declared Thank a Veteran Month by the San Luis Obispo County Board of Supervisors. It is a time to reflect on all that we owe our men and women currently in uniform and our veterans who so nobly served before them. Whenever you see a service member in uniform, please take a moment to thank them and be mindful of our reserves and veterans and always be thankful for them. It's Thank a Veteran Month. Please show them how much you care and don't forget, hire a vet.
There you go, right there. And this reminder, the third annual Veterans Celebration at Thursday Night Promotions Farmers Market is tomorrow, and the intention of the celebration is to honor more than 25,000 area vets and currently serving service members, as well as those who lost their lives in the service of our country. Evening's lineup will begin with a procession through the market led by the Marine Corps Color Guard, followed by Central Coast Pipes and Drums, along with the Grizzly Youth Academy Drill Team and Cal Poly ROTC. The procession will end at Choro and Higuera Streets, where the posting of colors will take place. A special performance led by the Grizzly Youth Academy Drill Team will follow the posting of colors. In addition, California Senator Sam Blakesley will be on hand to introduce guest speaker Dana Cummings. Cummings is the co-founder and executive director of the Association of Amputee Surfers and the Veteran Service Officer for San Luis Obispo County. Cummings was recently named 2011 Veteran of the Year for his dedicated support of vets through AMSERV and also recognized by CNN in the 2010 Hero of the Year program. The highlight of the evening will be displays and informational booths lining Charles Street, including the Vets Express. The Vets Express, founded by Greg Shearer, U.S. Army veteran, transports over 200 disabled vets around Slo County to medical appointments. Donations will be accepted for the Vets Express. That's not all, though, because, you know, Greg is always working for the vets. As most of you know, this from Greg Shearer. As most of you know, I'm very much involved in raising money for the Vets Express, a transportation service for our veterans who have medical issues, but no means of transportation to our local VA clinics. Service began in October of 2007, and we serve 10 to 12 vets a month. Today, nearly 250 local veterans have a need for this service, which means more money needs to be raised. As you all know, 100% of all proceeds raised go straight to the Vets Express. On November 1st, the county supervisors proclaimed that this is Thank a Vet Month. Today, I need all of your help and support in the worst way. On November 19th, if you'll mark that down, at Mr. Rick's in Avila Beach, I will be having my fifth annual Texas Hold'em tournament, and I need players. I know many of you will be there, as you have in the past, and it's always been a fun event with some really nice prizes to the winners. I ask for your help by trying to find 1 to 2 poker players each. I want to fill up the room. If you don't play poker but would like to help out, maybe you could sponsor a vet who plays and pay the entry fee. I have people right now who aren't playing but want to sponsor a veteran. So what we need is more players, and thank you very much for sponsoring that to play in the poker tournament. I did the same thing because I could play poker to save my life. This year's Veterans Day is special 11-11-11, as we will never see it again. Let's make this Veterans Day special for our vets by thanking as many as you can. Lots of vet stuff going on. Of course, there are going to be Veterans Day services on Saturday in many, many, many places. Veterans Day is Friday. Observation of Veterans Day is Saturday. That's what I had to share with you there. I have to share something else with you, though.
Hey, Pop, looks like you're ready to do some honeydews. You've got a list, and what's with those knee pads?
I am ready to get her done.
Uh-oh.
We've got guests coming for the holidays, and Mom says we can't have any more plumbing problems like last year.
Yeah, I remember the kitchen faucet wouldn't stop dripping. The garbage disposal froze up at Thanksgiving, and the worst was when after dinner, your weirdo uncle wouldn't come out of the bathroom. What was that all about?
You know, don't even ask. It was ugly, and that's exactly why Mom's got me on the job.
Good thing you're starting early.
Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath has pre-holiday sale pricing on no-drip top-quality kitchen faucets, super-efficient insulator garbage disposers, and powerful water-saving Toto toilets. To get sale pricing and an early jump on your holiday honeydews, go to Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath behind Trader Joe's in San Luis Obispo.
This is Talk is Cheap, the Friends and Neighbors Network, with Bill Benica.
It certainly is, and I thank you very much for joining me today. It's currently, about 17 after the hour 1, and Weather Wizard says, here's what's going on now. This is pretty much the guess for, unless this changes now, it's changed a bit all week, that Friday, Veterans Day, could be really rainy. And then it'll be cloudy and sunny and all that stuff the next 2 days for the weekend. Maybe if we're lucky, that storm front will just disappear. Anyhow, so that's what's going on with our weather. Let's see what else happened in our world here today. We had a long chat with Major Tom, but I'm glad we did because I really think it's very, 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 very important for you to know what's going on when these things are going on. And the EAS thing, the emergency alert system, is certainly one of the important things of all time for us. But as Tom mentioned, you know, on a countywide basis, we're doing fine. What happens with the government, nobody can guess. some government person's in charge of that. Okay, I know we got a problem there. All right, I have a thing I want to share with you, and this is here. This woman, a woman is jailed for stealing a fur coat and hiding it under her skirt. But she hid it under there for 3 days. Three long days. I wouldn't wear it after that, I don't think. Then again, I probably wouldn't wear a fur coat anyway, would I? Okay. So right now the thing's cranking up or doing whatever it's doing there. Got the little circle going around, you know, when I clicked on play and, you know, there's no way of knowing.
Video surveillance shows Stephanie Moreland inside the Alaskan Fur Company in Bloomington on New Year's Eve. She was in the market for a jacket.
There she is right there.
She just wasn't willing to pay for it. Cameras catch Moreland taking a $6,500 mink fur and stuffing it under her skirt seconds before a clerk walks by. The worker's suspicious and stops her at the door.
Somehow or another, she had modified her underwear. And she had it, I think, just basically stuffed down in the front of it. So, but from the rear, it didn't appear as if she had anything.
Police are called. They don't find the coat, but still make an arrest. 3 days later, after the holiday weekend, a detective interviews her about the theft. The
detective had no idea that it was on her at all.
At first, she lies about the mink fur.
I stole the coat.
But then police say she tries to use it as a way to avoid jail.
Where's that?
That's when she made the decision to take the coat out and give it to him.
Moreland pulls the coat from her underpants and explains how she was able to walk out of the store.
Possibly that didn't take me because you know, in the video,
she's now serving nearly 2 years in jail for a crime police will remember for far longer.
I've never seen anything quite like this, no.
I hope to never see anything quite like it again.
Thank you very much.
Well, Joe Paterno is going to resign at the end of his tenure here and at the end of this season, really. And what is his, 83, 84? Anyway, I mean, he's had a run, I'd say. It's just a shame that this is how he's going out. I mean, it's just getting worse. So that's really too bad.
That's too bad.
I think I had some other sportsy stuff. Wait a second. I got some other sportsy stuff that I was going to tell you about. I know I did, because I had an exciting volleyball match last night. Why is that even in my pit? You know this thing here, Home and Garden. You ever do anything with that? I don't. I usually don't bring it with me. Home and Garden. All right. So the Tigers sweep in the playoff opener. San Luis Obispo whooped Rancho Cucamonga for the second time this season, advanced in the second round of the big playoff tournament. And that's the high school Tigers right there doing the job. Yay! And so then we have a big game coming up. College football is going to be Stanford and Oregon. That's going to be a doozy there. I thought I wouldn't end it with that. And is there anything else I was going to tell you about? No, we'll save these. It's time for midseason awards. We'll save those for Monday with when we have Mr. Wright coming in, Josh. And we'll talk about that then. All right, save that. Get rid of Home and Garden. What else you got, Tim? What else you got, Billy? Yeah, you got anything else to offer? Yeah, I do, actually. I do right here.
Right up here.
Oh, let's do this because it's lunchtime. You know, you missed Taco Tuesday yesterday, but that's okay. They still got great stuff in the deli department if you want to get some deli stuff at Spencer's Fresh Market. Hey, you say to yourself, "Well, yeah, I usually go to a regular restaurant for lunch. Why? What are you doing? You're crazy." Here's what they got going on: store-made chicken salad for $4.99 a pound. You can get in a sandwich if you want. They got jumbo chicken wings of fire, $3.99 a pound. You can get those things. Salisbury steak, hearty and delicious, $4.99 a pound. So you just get a meal right there. You get a sandwich, a meal. You get a boar's head sandwich if you want it. They have maple honey ham, and they got all kinds of other great things. They got their, what I really like is their horseradish cheddar is absolutely excellent. Now, you're saying, Billy, what kind of meat can I get this week? Are you kidding? Harris Ranch Choice Angus T-bone steaks. A T-bone steak for $6.99 a pound. And then fresh red snapper fillets, if the weather permits, for the fillets to get in here. $5.99 a pound. Foster Farms whole fryers are just 99 cents a pound, and Spencer's own Italian sausage just $2.99 a pound. So they got just the stuff that you need, the stuff that you want, the stuff you can't do without. 59 cents a pound for fresh chicken leg quarters, 79 cents for crisp Fuji apples. Listen to this. Haas avocados just 69 cents each. Nancy, we just whooped us up some 69 cent each guacamole last night. Now, if you've never tried one of these, do it. This is Spencer's Baja Filet. I don't know. I really haven't asked John. I didn't know if I should. What a Baja Filet is. My guess is it's somewhere between a tri-tip and a sirloin, even though the tri-tip actually is a sirloin, but it's some other part of that whole affair. Anyway, they're absolutely excellent barbecued. Matter of fact, that's why I've had them. Now, they may be fine if you just put them in a frying pan or something. I don't know. But I like to barbecue, so I do that. Then here's the other thing. Now, this you probably want to do on the soup in the oven. Prairie Fresh Natural Pork Shoulder Butt Roast for just $1.79 a pound. It is time to have some carnitas. Carnitas are so good. All right, so you have that. And then you have all the liquids and whatnot. You got a Disneyland Pass thing going on here. What do you got? Save money up here on cereal, Cheerios, or Trix. And also on General Mills cereals, they got a coupon thing going on. They have in the beverage aisle, you can save a dollar when you buy any 4 2-liter bottles of Coca-Cola. Well, coupons, I'll find them. I got them. My head picks them out pretty quick. Anyway, that's the only ones I see. They got all kinds of stuff for your animals, your dog food and whatnot. They haven't been exposed to nuclear experiments. And then in the baker's corner, 3 for $0.99, they have a Lilio rolls. 99 cents for a 4-pack of King Hawaiian rolls, and the Nemo's cakes are just 99 cents. And they have a Table Talk 4-inch pies for 99 cents. But here's the most amazing thing they have in the whole wide world, and that is Mr. Frank Bouget's wonderful cakes and pies and stuff. and pastries. He was the world famous chef at the Madonna Inn. And so he took that talent that he had and brought it to Spencer's Fresh Markets in five locations on the Central Coast. So you can buy a single piece of cake if you want to buy a whole one. But you might want to buy a whole one, and especially with this is Thanksgiving dinner we're talking about coming up. So you might want to do the right thing. All right, so go to Spencer's locations in five places on the Central Coast in Santa Maria, Arroyo Grande, Atascadero, Morro Bay, and San Luis Obispo. Save yourself some dough and get yourself some great food at great prices right there. All right, I liked it. I liked every bit of that. All right, let's do. Well, here's, I don't know. County advised to put recession behind. They're saying, we're going to pull out of this. Not in a rapid manner of any kind, but someday, somehow, we're going to pull out of this. But that, of course, depends on whether or not the world economy goes to heck in a handbasket between Greece and Spain. So we're not sure what's going to happen with that. Our local economy seems to be on the upswing slightly, but the world economy is really looking down the barrel of a gun. All right, so that's kind of spooky right there. And here's the thing that you might want to wonder about yesterday and the weeks leading up to Missouri's vote on whether to declare fertilized eggs a person and granted full rights. Nearly everyone was saying the measure was sure to pass. It's considered the perfect place to mount what could have been a historic challenge to abortion laws. After all, Mississippi is the most anti-abortion religious and conservative state anyway, according to the Gallup poll. It was supposed to give a boost to the nationwide movement of the Colorado-based nonprofit Christian group Parenthood USA, which is attempting to get the measure on the ballot in several other states. The measure had all the thing going. Everything was going for it, but it failed. The voters rejected it. There was a few theories floating around this morning after the measure was defeated. Guess why it was. One, people began asking questions about the language of the amendment. Many of those opposing the bill who spoke to CNN said there simply had not been enough discussion about what the amendment would actually do. One we spoke to said they felt this was government overreacting to begin with, but they weren't even sure how far reaching it would because the language was so ambiguous. I remember we talked about this, Does mom have a beer and she's in trouble? So they wanted to know what about the implication. What if it means for women's reproductive rights? What does it mean about the decisions women can make with their doctor? Will it mean women will be at the mercy of the state when it comes to everything from taking certain birth control pills to trying to conceive if a couple is infertile? What happens to those fertilized eggs for IVF treatments if they aren't used? And would people be facing prosecution if they did any of these things? What the heck's going on here? Anyway, there's just a whole lot of this, a whole lot more of this thing going on. I thought I'd share that with you right there. So, this is it. Now, on CNN breaking news, we might have to do a clicky clicky on here because I want to see what this said. Let's see. Oh, and Nancy Grace was voted off of Dancing with the Stars. That's considered news for some reason. So I just thought I'd tell you that. Okay. Well, we've got a couple of stories that are very, very interesting. This is a former Navy SEAL is going to challenge something about what happened with Bin Laden. And when we get to that story, we'll go ahead and put that up for you and find out what the heck the guy's talking about. I don't know. I guess the question was, this, they said it just took 90 seconds to kill Osama Bin Laden. So the author and former Navy SEAL, Chuck Pfaffer, Pfarrer, disputes the official version of the mission that had killed Osama bin Laden. So now this guy's a former Navy SEAL and says, just 90 seconds to kill the guy. I don't know, but we'll see what he has to say. And we'll decide. We'll make a decision about the Navy SEALs right here.
Story in a new book out today called SEAL Target Geronimo, the inside story of the mission to kill Osama bin Laden. All right, wonderful to see you and appreciate you taking the time,
Thank
Chuck. So I want to start first with the controversy. You came out with this book. You've talked to the SEALs. That's what you say. They're not supposed to talk today. Colonel Tim Nye, public affairs officer at U.S. Special Operations Command, said, this book is a fabrication. You, being he, describes events and locations that are factually incorrect. The Obama administration is taking you on this.
Good
correct?
For them.
Incorrect? Did you make anything up?
My sources are boots on the ground and people who weren't on the ground but know what happened. And if it's a compare story situation, well, which administration story am I supposed to believe? The 45-minute firefight, the crashed helicopter. I mean, my sources were the guys who were there and doing it.
And some of the differences are, it was the 45-minute firefight was the official story the American people were told the day after. You're saying it was 90 seconds, which is amazing.
Yeah.
And there are other differences. And you say the men came in from the roof rather than the ground. But
absolutely,
the differences, as I see them, are not enough to show some massive government conspiracy to cover up.
Oh.
I'm wondering why they're coming after you so harshly.
I don't think it's a cover-up. I think what happened is, after the operation, the president made his statement, and it should have ended there. Now, whether or not it was appropriate for national security reasons to come out and admit the operation, that's another thing.
Mm-hmm.
He made his statement. That was great, and it should have ended there. But the information started to leak from politicians of every stripe who were happy to put forward everything they knew, which was fragmentary and incomplete and incorrect.
So who did you talk to of the SEALs, SEAL Team 6? How many did you were there? Tell us about the story.
Digging into this, I had to deconflict stories of guys that were on the ground. I had to deconflict stories that were being fed to me
mm-hmm.
that just weren't making any sense. For example,
mm-hmm.
the insertion helicopter crashes on insertion. Look, we plan for something like that.
That's right.
You ground fire, that could happen. Well, what would happen in that case, though, why wouldn't the second helicopter land on the principal piece of real estate, the top of the building? Why would it divert outside a 20-foot wall and put the guys out? That was one of the first alarm bells that went off in my head.
Mm-hmm.
Totally wrong. So I think what happened is the administration lost control of this story, then clamped down on it, leaving these half-facts out there, and they metastasized into this story of a ground-up assault
mm-hmm.
where a man was shot in his bedroom after a 45-minute operation.
So,
that's not what happened.
So, and as you say, from what you know from the SEALs, it took 90 seconds. You talk about two SEALs going into Osama bin Laden's
mm-hmm.
bedroom. He reached for his weapon.
Mm-hmm.
They shot him immediately. How did they feel when they did that? What did they tell you?
Well, I don't think feeling really had much to do with it. These guys go in. When they go in, they are just on in the moment, in the second. They have to be, because that's what it takes to survive in these situations. You know what? The 90 seconds that I've computed this
mm-hmm.
operation took, and from what my information is, that's more in keeping to what a SEAL Team 6 operation is. You hit them hard, you hit them fast, and it's over before they can react.
The Stealth Hawk was the helicopter used. Its systems
correct.
Went down in a million-to-one chance, is how you describe
absolutely.
It, the one that crashed. They tried to destroy most of it.
Yes.
But you report in here, and I wanted to ask you about this because this is really important, that the Pakistanis were so mad that they auctioned off
that's
the
correct.
Remains to the Chinese.
That's correct.
So that they could see the technology
that
and then let
correct.
The Iranians and the North Koreans see it.
Absolutely.
That's
just
true?
In a little, yes, just in a little victory lap. They were so incensed by this operation. You know, the tail rotor was left. Look at that. That itself is a one in a million chance that
mm-hmm.
that didn't get vaporized. It's a very important part. They showed it off. They allowed material samples to be taken, measurements. They did everything they could to promulgate the technology.
Well, that is a terrible thing. Thank you very much. We appreciate your coming in.
My pleasure.
Chuck Farr's book, fascinating book, reads like the thriller novel that it is. I guess we all wish
not
in
a novel.
Life we were a SEAL. It's not right. Thanks again.
Hey, my pleasure. Thank
all
you.
All right.
Well,
500 new business cards. That's 500 first impressions.
At Staples, we know your business printing is important.
30 copies of a killer proposal. 30 yeses to a career-changing deal.
So Staples certified print pros make sure it's perfect.
One new store sign, thousands of new shoppers.
Great business printing can be the difference between making a sale and missing one. Right now, get 30% off any copy and print orders of $30 or more. Visit Staples.com or text Staples to 84444. Offer ends 11/12. Staples, that was easy.
This holiday, tell someone how much you care by spending a whopping 97 cents on them. Walmart has all the latest smartphones from the nation's top carriers, like the LG Enlighten for Verizon, LG Optimus S for Sprint, and Impulse 4G for AT&T, all just 97 cents. Yes, I said 97 cents for a smartphone with all the bells and whistles. And no one has to know how little you spent. They'll think you went all out and will have no idea you found the money for their gift under the sofa cushions. Save money. Live better. Walmart. Offer with 2-year new agreement or qualified 2-year extension may be available on select plans. Data plan required. Brand and assortment availability varies by location.
Can I help you?
Hi, Mr. Baker. I'm Sean.
Who?
Sean? I'm here to pick up your daughter.
Why?
We kind of have a date tonight.
You kind of have a date?
Yeah.
Well, do your don't you, boy.
Do I, or do I, what?
Have a date.
I guess so, yeah.
No, you don't.
I don't?
No, you don't. Not until you answer a few questions, young man.
Okay.
How old are you?
18.
Do you drink alcohol?
No.
Do you take drugs?
No.
Ever lied to your mother?
What?
Are you registered with Selective Service?
Well,
Are you registered with Selective Service?
Oh, well, no, not yet, but, I...
All men must register with Selective Service when they turn 18. It's quick, it's easy, and it's the law. Go to SSS.gov or to your local post office and register.
Who was that, Dad?
Oh, no one you'd ever want to meet.
My tears are falling, 'cause you've taken her away. And though it really hurts me so, there's something that I've got to say. Take good care of my baby. Please don't ever make her blue. Just tell her that you love her. Make sure you're thinking of her in everything you say and do. Take good care of my baby. Now don't you ever make her cry. Just let your love surround her. Paint a rainbow all around her. Don't let her see a cloudy sky. Once upon a time, that little girl was mine. If I'd been true, I know she'd never be with you. So take good care of my baby. Be just as kind as you can be. And if you should discover that you don't really love her, just send my baby back.
Karen Scott Audiology has moved to a new location. She is now located at 3220 South Higuera, Suite 320, next to the DMV in San Luis Obispo, and now easy to find and plenty of parking. Stop in and see her at her beautiful new facilities. Karen Scott has been serving the Central Coast for over 30 years. Board certified, she and her staff understands the need to have your hearing checked. From your child to your teen, your mother to your grandparents, hearing loss can occur at any age. And it's nice to know that Karen Scott has the knowledge and experience to help you with all your hearing aid needs, with a wide selection to choose from. They also offer industrial screenings. Give Karen Scott a call today for your free consultation, 541-1790, or stop by 3220 South Higuera, Suite 320, next to the DMV in San Luis Obispo, helping you hear the things you love.
Wow. Now San Luis Diagnostic Center has a new MR scanner to meet everyone's needs. If you're somewhat claustrophobic or simply uncomfortable being placed in a small tube, you can choose the brand new 3 Tesla Open MRI. This new gold standard in MR imaging was previously available only at research institutions such as the Mayo Clinic. Now it's available locally at San Luis Diagnostic Center. It's the most open ultra-high-field scanner in the world, and its state-of-the-art technology can diagnose disease far earlier, with radiologists specially trained in the interpretation of neurological and bone and joint diseases. San Luis Diagnostic Center offers an uncompromising combination of technology and physician expertise. The next time your doctor recommends that you have an MRI, insist on the best. The Ultra High Field Open MRI, only at San Luis Diagnostic Center. All major insurances accepted.
All veterans residing in the Atascadero, Templeton, Santa Margarita, and Creston areas are invited to attend the Atascadero Elks Lodge Veterans Recognition Dinner. It's this Wednesday, November 9th at 5 p.m. Dinner will be free to all veterans who are disabled or under a health care provider, and $10 for all others. The Elks will recognize all veterans in attendance. For information or reservations, call the Atascadero Elks at 466-3557.
Now we have our exclusive guest, Megan Wright. Now, Megan, thank you so much for joining us. We know that it's got to be difficult for you to be in the center of this storm. And I assume you're speaking out because you want to do whatever you can to help find this child. Megan, okay, you have a phone. It's a prepaid phone. A call came in from a phone that the cops say was one of the phones that was allegedly stolen from baby Lisa's mother's home at the very same time as baby Lisa, okay? It goes in at 8 p.m. that night, which is before the mother says she passed out. So that doesn't make sense. The second thing is you're telling me that your phone belongs to or was in the possession of Dane. Tell us about this guy Dane, because Levi Page is claiming that he's into drugs.
Well, there was 8 people living at the house at the time, 5 adults and 3 kids. So my phone was pretty much community, which has been questioned, but it's true. Dane was, from what I was told, I was downstairs at the time that apparently the phone call took place. But from people in the house, what I've heard is that Dane had my phone all night, to the point where nobody else could use it because there were so many incoming text messages and phone calls for him.
Okay, now, as far as your ex-boyfriend, John Tanko Jersey, who was allegedly working in that neighborhood that night and has been arrested on totally different charges, and he's appeared in court on totally different charges, there he is. Megan, you told us that Jersey was into drugs, specifically meth. Let's listen. Let's listen to what you said.
I found out that he was getting into some drug activity.
Do you know what his drug, what drug is?
Meth, from what I understand. He would disappear for hours on end with no explanation. He was quick to anger, last to understand, and it was, I just couldn't handle it anymore. And towards the last couple of days, I was actually fearful for my safety being around him.
Okay, so we know that the missing baby's mom admits she had about 5 glasses of wine the night the child went missing. That's why she says she passed out at 10:30, doesn't know exactly what happened. There are also published reports she was on anti-anxiety drugs. Now a family member is coming forward and telling us that she, quote, flirted with drugs and may have had a problem with alcohol that she liked to drink. In your opinion, is there any nexus between Dane, who apparently allegedly likes drugs, and the mother, who a relative is now saying flirted with drugs? Is this phone call, could this phone call be about that?
It's possible. Like I said, I wasn't around when he had my phone. I was downstairs. My phone was upstairs with Dane, apparently in his possession from what I was told.
I don't know this Dane, but does he push drugs?
Not that I'm aware of. I don't know him well enough to know if he does or not.
How about Jersey, your ex? Has he ever sold?
I know that, not that I'm aware of, never in front of me, but it is possible. Like I said, and towards the end of our relationship, we didn't spend a whole lot of time together because he was at the release center. So his activities are totally unknown to me at that time.
You're now in Bill Benica's world, where talk is cheap.
Well, I'll tell you. This baby Lisa thing is just wild and crazy, and it seems to have no end or answer to it so far, but it will. Hi, you're Bill Benica. This is Talk is Cheap, your friends and neighbors network on 1340 KYNS, your news station in San Luis Obispo. And we have phone numbers you want to call in, 786-2578 or 1-866-937-1340. You're certainly welcome to buzz. Wait, we have a happy story. We have a happy ending story. We never have these. Good deed returned. Stranger fixes woman's flat tire, then she saves his life. A call of a twist of fate. Of course, call of the name that's going to screw up, but we'll try it. Victor Giesbrecht of Winnipeg, Canada, stopped his pickup along an interstate highway in western Wisconsin to help two stranded women change a flat tire. Minutes later, his life was in their hands. Sarah Berg of Eau Claire, Wisconsin, and her cousin Lisa Meyer were headed home Saturday night, Interstate 94, when they heard an awful noise. They were somewhere between Menominee and Eau Claire, I guess, when they pulled to the side of the road to find a flat tire, something neither knew how to fix. Meyer's husband was on his way to help when Geisbrecht, who was driving by with his wife Ann, showed up and asked whether they needed help. We were so grateful. Okay. When Geisbrecht finished, Berg handed him and they shook hands, thanked him and they shook hands. Berg recalled Giesbrecht's farewell words. There was someone up above, put me in the right place at the right time. And then they parted. Giesbrecht and his wife pulled back onto the interstate. Seconds later, Berg followed. Less than a quarter mile down the road, Berg noticed Giesbrecht's red truck pull over. She passed and then pulled over, figuring the couple may have forgotten something. No sooner had she gotten out of her car when she saw Giesbrecht's wife waving frantically at passing motorists. When she saw Berg, she called out, "I think he's having a heart attack." Berg, a certified nursing assistant trained in CPR. How lucky is that? Okay, jumped into the truck. Giesbrecht had no pulse and wasn't breathing. Berg began chest compressions. Meyer called 911. Berg and Meyer administered CPR until emergency personnel arrived. The sheriff's deputy used an automated external defibrillator to help Giesbrecht regain a pulse and resume breathing. It was a nice twist of fate, said Dr. Regis Fernandez, a cardiologist with Mayo Clinic Health System in Eau Claire, who was treating Giesbrecht. We know for sure that the CPR the woman did increased his chances for survival. I would guess, Sam, what chance would he have had if she hadn't done that? You know what I'm saying? None. Hey. I'm going to carry one of the defibrillators in my pocket. All right, because you just never know when all of a sudden you're going to need it. Okay. All right, what else is going on? What else is happening in our world today? Let's do it. Let's do some locally stuff, see if we got some locally stuff, because something's confusing me, but we'll see it. Paso activist Joe Quiroz. Am I saying that right? Quiroz? 64 died of gang violence. This is a longtime North County school board member who died Monday, also helped develop Latino leadership. I pass that on to those of you who knew him. Primary care clinic opens up at French Hospital. The French Hospital Cal Poly Mustangs are happy about that. So anyway, that's what's going on there. And then faculty call for fairness. There was a little bit of a strike across 22 campuses yesterday saying things aren't right. Things aren't right. All right. No extraterrestrials known, White House tells petitioners. Wait, we got to get to another story about the White House, though. So they're saying that there's no ETs or anything like that. They've been lying about that forever. Don't worry about it. All right, so here's the thing here. We got to get to this story here because it's like... Those microphones, you know what I'm saying? Those microphones. Where's my story about the microphones? Oh, no, where is my story about the microphone? Okay, I got to find my story. Well, this paper here, I don't know what... they have three full pages of just junk. No, I'm sorry, they're advertising, but it's just kind of like, okay, three full pages. Do I have the story right here? Well, you know, it's not easy being Bill Benica sometimes, I got to tell you the truth, you know. Okay, but basically what happened was the president was having a conversation with one of the people at the G20 summit and one of the other leaders, and was Sarkozy, I think. And so anyway, here it is right here. Sarkozy-Obama chat, not private after all. Israeli Prime Minister called a liar in a conversation overheard by reporters. Exchange reflects world's frustration with stalled peace talks. Heavens! Heavens! And then, so anyway, Sarkozy called Benjamin Netanyahu a liar, and then Obama said, which I thought was a pretty good response, "I have to work with him every day." He didn't commit to whether he's a liar or not. Good idea. It's an awkward moment for Obama, who was already seen as cool to Netanyahu, but is Israel's main international ally. Several French-speaking journalists, including one from the Associated Press, overheard the conversation, but not initially reported because Sarkozy's office had asked the journalists not to turn on the headsets until the news conference began. Oh, yeah, right. Raise your hand and promise me you won't do it. Okay, I won't do it. Give me that headset right there. All right, then they have a big Iran's. They're saying for sure Iran's. They're developing enriched uranium for a nuke. How surprising! I thought they just want to use it for for electricity, but they're saying no. Maybe that's not the case. Help. So Israel, now, I would say that President Obama better figure out how he's going to get along with Netanyahu soon, because I think that Israel is going to do what they did once before and go in and say, guess what, we're taking this stuff out. Okay. I can't imagine not happening. Let's put it that way. I can't imagine not happening. Other things are going on in the world. Well, here we got everybody in the wide world. It's talking about the dang trash cans, trash bags. Here we go. The editorial opinion of the Tribune says, reduce litter with a ban on plastic bags. We should reduce the litter. We should get rid of the darn plastic bags. Given the average sack of grocery costs $30, an additional 10 cents per bag will likely go unnoticed. So what they're talking about is getting rid of plastic bags altogether. A paper bag, which is recyclable, if people do it, would cost you a dime. And I would have to say there's going to be a lot of paper bags being used, is my guess. I don't know how willing people are to bring a bag with them. I mean, people are doing it. I mean, I have to say, you know, people are doing the duty. My wife does it, you know. And when she sends me to the store, she says, here, take this bag and use it. So I do. But you know, if it was just me, you know, and they said, you want a paper bag for a dime? I said, I'll take two. Double bag that puppy. Yeah. So anyway, whatever. And Dan Walters said, and this is one of those headlines you read and you go, yep. Our transportation system is in decline. That's it. And then here, down here, this is what President Barack Obama said, pressing lawmakers to approve tax credits for businesses to hire unemployed vets or injured vets who have been out of work. Our veterans did their job. It's time for Congress to do theirs. It's time for them to put country before party. Okay, so I have to get to this. Oh, wait, I got to get to this response that this person had on Calcos News. You got to hear this. All right. So here the vet is saying, you know what, we don't have to worry about our families. We want people to cut back on, you know, the kind of benefits that we have. And then, Tech Soldiers Benefits. That was Javier Duran who wrote that thing, okay? All right, so Javier Duran wrote that. And then this is what somebody said underneath that. This is a comment somebody made in the New Times about that article. Wow. Oh, did they take it out? Oh, no, here it is right here. Specialist Duran, thank you for your service. The U.S. government has provided you an opportunity to see the world and learn a trade. See the world? You chose to join, and you are not a conscript. You are entitled to what you signed up for. The Department of Defense has adequate programs and benefits for veterans, range from the GI Bill to VA loans. I thought writing political letters is against DOD policy, and I'm surprised your command allowed you to do so. You're an instrument of war. Wasn't this made clear to you when you volunteered? Now, this is written by the person whose code name is God is Language. Okay. You're an instrument of war. Wasn't that made clear to you when you volunteered? But here's what they say. When you volunteer, and they say they don't say, well, you're no longer a person. You know, you're just an instrument of war. So you can't be a person, you know, at all. So anyway, so that's very interesting. It's a bit bitter and mean. You know, it's like saying if your policy doesn't currently, your health policy doesn't currently carry a clause that says in the event they discover a cure for cancer, you're entitled to it, and they discover a cure for cancer, and then your insurance company goes, yeah, but you can't have it because when you signed up, they didn't have a cure. Really? Yeah. I never considered myself an instrument of war. I only weighed 120 pounds. I couldn't have possibly been an instrument of war. I couldn't have been an instrument of anything. I could have been an operating room instrument. I could have been a scalpel. So here's the support the ban on bags up here, Richard Cransdorf. Bag ban is idiocy. Here's somebody that says, Laurie from Templeton. She doesn't like that thing. Basically what she's saying is, what constitutional right do you have to say to people they can't use plastic bags? They'll tie it into national security. What is that we call what we have now? Yeah, Homeland Security. Okay, all right. Reducing single waste bags. If you know you'd make it and you'd like to put your comments on record, please send them in the Integrated Waste Management and find their contact information. Oh, so they're having a meeting today Oh, it's already started. I was going to tell you this earlier in the day, and I forgot. It's at 1:30 p.m. in the county chambers of Monterey and Santa Rosa Street. So right now, as we're speaking, they're having the big meeting on the pegs. So if you want to get in there and say, well, here's how we feel about that. Okay, you can do that. Okay, but I have to get there right now because I screwed up. All right, so there you go right there. Now, here's can I just say this, and I want to say this in a nice way, the nicest way I know how to say this. When a boat has broken loose from its moorings, all you try to do is save the boat, but you don't, take pictures of it and put it in the paper. I don't have a clue. I have no idea why they even published this. From a person in Morro Bay, although it will never be known exactly what happened to more than 3 million gallons of crude oil that were on board the tanker Montebello when it was sunk in December 1941, the greater mystery is who or what sunk the ship. Was it Don Miguel, New Zealand Jack, Timor Tom? One candidate in the affidavit of Moby Dick cannot be mentioned in the Tribune in connection with the Montebello, or I would add, Mor Quan, King of Japan. Be right there. Oh, yeah. All right. Now, let's see what's going on here. Oh, this is it for today. That's it. So we'll get together again tomorrow. It'll be the day before Veterans Day. We'll get together on Thursday at noon o'clock. Until then, may all your trails be happy ones, and don't believe everything you hear here, because...
This is Talk is Cheap. The game is over. The Friends and Neighbors Network.
Game over.
With Bill Benica.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then. Who cares about the clouds if we're together? Just sing a song and bring the